Welcome to Symbols of Service on Siouxland Catholic Radio, 88.1 FM. I'm your host, Derek Hill. Symbols of Service is sponsored by Landkamer Flag Sales of Norfolk, Nebraska. Landkamer Flag Sales sells American-made flags and flagpoles. Learn more by calling them at 402-371-0778. My guest today on Symbols of Service is Sister Pia Portman. Welcome, Sister Pia, to the program.
Thank you, Derek.
Now, we've been talking a little bit before we went on the air here, you're from Switzerland. You were born and raised in Switzerland, correct?
Yes, that's right, Derek. I was born and raised in Switzerland, and I entered our community in Switzerland.
Okay, and how did you come to be in the United States?
That's a long story.
We have a little bit of time here.
I think we can go through the question as I tell you how I came to the United States.
Okay. So how did your family life help you to decide to choose a religious life as a vocation?
I'm not so really sure, and I never thought about, but when you asked me the question, Derek, I was really thinking. Somehow the whole structure of family life, we were six children, and my parents had very little income. My father was a mechanic, and so we all had to help together to raise our family. And my parents were both Catholic. They were very eager that we followed the faith, and everyone in the family was somehow involved in the parish. Like my father was always for the Christian party. My brothers were in the Catholic athletic groups and in Catholic youth group and so on. We all were involved in the church to some extent. And so I'm sure this had also an influence on my vocation.
And was there some point in your life when you just said to yourself, this is my calling, this is what I'm going to do?
I don't think it's only one point. I think it was a slowly growing of a vocation. I remember the first time I thought of it was when I was preparing for First Communion. And our priest really pointed out to us that we should fall in love with Jesus and maybe also listen that what Jesus tells us, maybe he wants to call one or the other for priesthood or religious life. And I know that I said, Jesus, I want to give you my life, but I didn't know what it means. And then during the carnival season, because we always had First Communion on the first Sunday after Easter, what we called the White Sunday, so the parish didn't want that the kids preparing for First Communion were out on the street. So they invited us to the parish hall for a film. It was a film about a mission in Madagascar. And I know I came home and I said, I want to be a missionary in Africa.
So that's how it all started then, right?
That started. But then it was growing later and I forgot about it. I was not the best girl, but I love to go to church. I very often, when we were distributed some Catholic magazine to get some more money for the family, so I often just stopped at the church for a few minutes to be with Jesus. And I liked, when I was a teenager, I liked to go to daily mass, and I did this till I entered the community at the age of 20 plus. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you said you entered the convent when you were in Switzerland.
Yes.
What was that like?
What was it like? You know, it was pre-Vatican II. It was in 62. I entered the community 4 days after Vatican II started.
Oh. Okay.
So it was still everything pre-Vatican, and it was not easy there because the sisters, there were some younger sisters, and I was the only information, and I was very lonely because I came from a big family of four brothers and one sister. teasing each other, I really missed it. But somehow God let me through. And when I was a novice, I was able to go to Germany for finishing my formation time in the mother house. Our mother house is in Germany near Munich.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is the Missionaries of the Sisters of Benedictine, correct?
We call it Missionary Benedictine Sisters.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay.
So your home base here is in Norfolk, Nebraska, but you're with Holy Cross Parish in Sioux City, right?
Yes, that's right. Correct, Eric. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And was there some point in time where you thought maybe you were not going to be a sister, where you had other interests that you might have chosen as a vocation?
There were surely time about doubts, especially after Vatican II when I was in Germany in the mother house. A lot of my companions left the congregation, like here in the States, a lot of young sisters left at that time. So you started doubting, and even before final profession, because we were the young ones, we wanted to have some change. We were trained what's going on in the church with Vatican II, and the community was very slow in changing at that time. So we doubted sometimes, but, you know. And then I had also personal crisis.
Right.
It's just need this to grow in your vocation, you know. And so
sure.
God helped me through with the help of others and talking with others and praying about. That really helped me. Mm-hmm.
So was there any one particular person that you could say possibly guided you to choose your vocation, or was it just something that you had talked to God about and he asked you to come join him?
I think the most important person to me was at that time my oldest brother. Okay. He was 9 years older than I, and he himself had once in his life even thought about become a priest. But as the oldest of the family, he had to take care of the family and was very responsible. So I could talk with him before I even talked with my parents. And then I had a good friend who also was discerning religious life. Through her, I got the address of our congregation, and then I found other missionary congregation. But I would like to go back to the really deciding point of choosing this way of life. Was in 1961, the youth group, we made a night pilgrimage to our Mary Shrine, to Maria Einsiedel, which is also a Benedictine monastery. It's the mother house of the monks from St. Meinrad in Indiana. Oh, and okay. There is our Black Madonna. So we walked 6 hours at night and came early, early morning tired to the monastery, and big, wonderful Baroque church, and inside is a little chapel with the Black Madonna. And we had 6 o'clock early morning there a mass, just our little group with our priest. And I think that was the decisive point where I know I want to be a missionary. But I didn't know where to go. But then my friend helped me with addresses where I wrote to different congregations. And the letter from the Missionary Benedictine Sisters, they were just, I knew that's the place. I don't know why, but I knew it.
You knew right away that mm-hmm. that's what you wanted mm-hmm. that you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So you started your journey in Switzerland. You went to Germany. Now you're in Iowa. And how did you come to be in the U.S. and particularly here in Iowa and Nebraska?
Okay. I make a long, interesting story short.
Okay.
as I entered in Switzerland as a novice because of, as I told, I was lonely and I got sick and I doubted that they let me make profession. So finally, I had the courage to ask if I can go to the mother house, where was a group of seven young women who entered at the same time like me. So I finished my novitiate there, made my first profession, and then in the mother house, I was assigned to the pharmacy. And I also wanted to be a missionary and a nurse. But I was trained as a pharmaceutical assistant before I entered the community. So I came straight away to the pharmacy of the hospital, where I worked for 15 years, always dreaming about the mission. Till right. One day, I said, Pia, you cannot always hope for something that can't be, because of the many leaving sisters who left the congregation, we couldn't send sisters to the mission anymore because we had to facilitate our own ministries, the hospital and school where we had at the mother house. So one day in the retreat, I said, I have to be a missionary wherever I am. And then God gave me the call to the mission. It was a surprise. And so I was in 1980, I was sent to Tanzania for 5 years to help in a hospital pharmacy, which I built up. And I was then finally 15 years there. It was my most creative time in my life because the situation in Tanzania in the 80s was very difficult. Mm-hmm. But the economy was completely on the floor. Nothing was available. You had to be very creative. Anyway, after 15 years, I came for the first time to the States for a sabbatical. And I had the chance to go to St. Louis to the IRF program, that Institute for Religious Formation in St. Louis, for 2 semesters, which was the biggest gift God could give me, because there I learned really who I am and discovering my gifts and more. So I wanted to go back after the 15 years to my mission, which I did. But then came the call to leadership. So I was elected prioress of another priory in Tanzania, in the southwest. In the beginning, I was in southeast. So I was there in leadership for 3 terms, almost 12 years. And the priory was really in a change of a German community into an African community. So there was a beautiful time. I could use all what I learned in the States. So after the 12 years, I had a sabbatical again. I went home and I went to the States here. I went down to Florida because it was in winter. I didn't want to be in the Midwest.
Right.
And on my way home to Norfolk, I got another call to come to Rome for 1 year. So I went back to Tanzania to repack and went to Rome. But then I made a decision. I saw the need in Rome. I was the house coordinator of our general aid and guest house. And so I told the Mother General that if she wants in the community, I would stay here for a term of office, which is 3 years, yeah, and then maybe go back to Africa, which I really wanted to go back. But after not even 2 years, in Norfolk, they needed a prioress. And Mother General asked me if they could put me on the list for election, and I was just laughing loud and said, nonsense, they will never elect a foreigner. And 1 month later, I got a phone call, you are elected prioress of Norfolk. Do you accept it? That is why I came over
and
here.
And that's where it all started, as far as that
was in 2010, so I served as 2 terms as prioress in Norfolk. And then during my time, Bishop Nicholas came to ask for sisters. We had a sister working in Helen, and I think he got attention of our congregation. And we were really looking for something, because we had to close so many ministry and so many houses because of aging of the community. So we were looking for a bigger city where we can have an outreach and just to be present in a parish, because we don't want to have own ministry again. So that's why we came here.
So in your position in that you have in Sioux City now, what are some of the duties that you perform on a regular basis?
When we came to Sioux City, Father David, who really invited us to come because they were looking for a place where we can stay, because we were four sisters when we came, and we had the two Vietnamese sisters, which were sponsored by Bishop Nicholas for study at Briar Cliff and helping in the Vietnamese community here. So we needed at least a house that can host or accommodate six sisters. Mm-hmm. So Bishop Father David really opened his heart and his house for us, and so that's why we came to us. And then he gave us a list with possible ministry we could do. But he, from the beginning, it said, you just be here. Your presence is very important. Your prayer and your presence is important. And one thing on his list was the taking care of the homebound. And I volunteered immediately for this. So Father Peter introduced me shortly, and since then I visited the nursing home, the assisted living, independent living in the parish, and the people at home. And then I started during COVID also with a Bible study group, beginning on Zoom and now in person every year.
You're listening to Symbols of Service here on Siouxland Catholic Radio 88.1, sponsored by Landkamer Flag Sales of Norfolk, Nebraska. And our guest today is Sister Pia Putman, and we've been talking about her journey from the time that she started in Switzerland to now, where she's in Sioux City, Iowa. And Sister, was there ever a time when you thought to yourself, maybe this is not my calling, and how did you handle that?
I think I never really doubted on the calling. But as I told you my story, I feel sometime like Abraham, who he heard the call, go. So go from Switzerland to Germany, go from Germany to Tanzania, go from Danda to Peramio, go from Peramio to Rome, go from Rome to Norfolk. He is for me the example, and I think that gave me always the pull to say yes to the service.
You mentioned you've been in several countries. Did you have to learn different languages, and how difficult was that?
Yes, I had to learn. First of all, I had to learn really speaking German, because we learn in school. In Switzerland, we speak dialect. And then I had French in school. In the novitiate, in the monastery, we learned a little bit English, but when I had the call to Africa, I had the option to go to England to learn English proper. So I went to England for 3 months, and then back to Tanzania, I had to learn Swahili. So Swahili took me almost 2 years till I was really confident to talk freely. Because at home we prayed at that time still German. In the church we prayed Swahili. In the hospital, the nurses all knew, and doctors, they all knew English, so I could handle this, you know. And our sisters in the hospital, we had two sisters who were medical doctors. They spoke German, so I could handle easily. But then I had to learn Swahili, and I was teaching in Swahili. And when I came to Peramio, where I was prioress, I was a real challenge. I had constantly to switch between 3 languages. Because the young Tanzanians were not completely sure in English. We had old German sisters who didn't know English. Even English is now our international language. So I had to switch from German to English in Swahili, from Swahili in English, etc. It was not an easy task, but I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed all of the learning that you had to do. Now, speaking about learning, your education, to become a sister. What did that involve?
Education to become a sister. So I had my normal education in school. As in Switzerland, it's a little bit different than here in the country. We have normally 6 years elementary, then 3 years secondary school. Very few people could go to college at that time. So what you do normally, you make an apprenticeship of 3 to 4 years, where you work on a place and have like trade school or professional school, mm-hmm. and close with an examination and you're a professional. So I learned to be a pharmaceutical assistant because I wanted to be a nurse, and I thought that would be a good introduction for nursing. But then I entered the community, and then in the community formation, we had a lot of studies, you know, Benedictine monasticism, church document, catechism, everything, you know, what we learned. I was half a year candidate and a 1 year postal, and then 1.5 year novice, then 5 year temporary professed sisters. So it's a long time till you make the final commitment as in final profession.
Mm-hmm. So during that time, you said till you make the final commitment. During that time of building up to that point, can you at any point say, this is not for me, or?
Yeah, Derek, you can go anytime. As before first profession, you can go anytime. But also the community can say, you don't fit to us.
Okay.
And then when you make first vows, you make it for a period of time. When this period of time is over, you're free to leave, or the community can dismiss you. But when you make final profession, then you are bound. And I think it's important that you have, because it's a special vocation. You don't go in and just make it. Like priesthood, how long do they study till they come to their decision?
Right, right. Yeah?
And so is with religious life. Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm wondering what would you tell a young person today that is considering a religious profession or vocation?
What would
you say to them?
I would tell her that she has to pray a lot. She has to come in a relationship with the Lord. That she has to talk with people she can trust, like a priest or a spiritual direction or a friend or even the parents. It depends on families, you know. I couldn't talk with my parents so much because I know I was the first one of six who left the home. And at that time, I left it for good. I didn't know that I could go home anytime because it was pre-Vatican. Mm-hmm. I would just tell her to be open for the call. And if she make the decision to continue discerning, because as I told, it's a work in progress. It's not a one decision. It's you make decision after decision after decision till you come to the final point. And, you know, it's scary sometimes, but without trust in God, you can't make it.
Right.
And it's a beautiful life, as you see, you know, how God brought me out of such little small country in such a wide world. I experienced universal church in so many countries, our international community. It's beautiful, you know. Now I'm old, I'm stuck here, but you know. But I traveled all over the world, and I enjoyed every minute, and I enjoyed this whiteness of the countries, the whiteness of our church, who has so many facets, you know. We see our church here, just the Church of Sioux City, mm-hmm. but I experienced church in a much, much wider experiences. And I will tell that it's a beautiful life.
Well, it does sound like you're very happy in what you're doing, and the other sisters that are with you, I'm assuming are like you. They've been trained and they do different things, but they're all still children of God, and it sounds like a wonderful life that you have right now. I'd like to thank our guest, Sister Pia Portman, for joining me on Symbols of Service on Siouxland Catholic Radio, 88.1, sponsored by Landcamer Flag Sales of Norfolk, Nebraska. And Sister, thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate it, and I see you almost every week at church, and it's been a privilege to have talked to you today, and have a great day, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you, Derek. I enjoyed to do it, even I was a little nervous.
You did fine. I was pretty nervous too, because I haven't done this for quite some time, but anyway, we got through it, and I want to thank you again for all of your time and all that you do for our parish.
Thank you.